at the Pleasant Street Tea Company. I'm Rick Moore, along with my guest today, Sarah Pat, of the Landmark School in Beverly. But she is a newly published author, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Sarah, welcome to MSO.
Thank you very much for having me, Rick.
Okay, first a little bit about your background professionally. How did you get to where you are, and then we'll get into the writing?
I've always wanted to be an author, so that was in the back of my mind. And I wanted to be a teacher. My grandmother was a school teacher, a first grade school teacher in Waterbury, Connecticut, so I always liked to emulate her. I loved her very much. So I majored in education at Wheelock College. Then I taught at Brookline High School and Baker Elementary School in Brookline. Then my boyfriend at the time, which is now my husband, he got relocated to Bethesda, Maryland, and I moved with him. He proposed marriage a month later. A year later, we got married. A year after that, I got pregnant and decided to stay home, hence three babies later. And and then I stayed home for 11 years, and then I wanted to go back to teaching once my youngest, Olivia, was entering first grade. And I applied to the Landmark School in Manchester by the Sea, which is the elementary middle school. The one in Beverly is the high school.
Okay.
So I teach at Manchester by the Sea.
Okay. And you got to have that by the sea in there, yeah. So I'm gathering as a mom, you didn't have a lot of time to write.
No, I did not, but I always did keep a journal. This is actually, I always wrote but never finished a story. Because of Savannah is my first manuscript that I actually finished. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote three. It's really all one, but I chopped it up, and Because of Savannah is the first of the trilogy.
Okay, so let's get into that. Because of Savannah is the reason we're here. And yeah. The germ, the seed of the story, where did that come from?
Okay, this is very weird, and by being truthful, in a dream. It actually takes place in Texas. I've never been to Texas. The protagonist ends up applying to Rice University, which is in Houston, and my maiden name is Rice. So maybe subconsciously, that is how I picked Rice University, mm-hmm. Houston, Texas. And sincerely, Dakota came to me in a dream, and it's an unusual name. It can be both for male or female. And it's very, I started the story, and then I began teaching the summer program at Landmark. And my tutorial student, her name was Dakota.
Okay, so, this is cosmic, man. This is kind of weird.
So I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I had a fear of running in public, but I wanted to do my first 5K, so I did, and I had no idea that the gym who was financing this 5K, the name was Cooper Gym, and they were out of Fort Worth, Texas, and another character in my book, his name is Cooper, and he's from Fort Worth, Texas. And
I'm looking for Rod Serling around here somewhere.
I swear I'm not crazy. Okay, so that's two things. Okay, really, third very strange thing, mm-hmm. I go into CVS at the Hamilton Wenham Shopping Plaza, the Hamilton Shopping Crossing, and I come out, and there was a bright red Corvette convertible, and the license plate says Luke, and guess what? I'm not kidding. Another character, actually a big character in my book, Luke, the protagonist Dakota, finds out at her father's funeral she has a brother she never knew existed, and his name is Luke, and he is a lot older than her, has a daughter named Savannah, hence Because of Savannah. She's orphaned Dakota because she lost her mother when she was 10 to cancer. So he says, Luke goes, Dakota, do you want to come out and live with me, with my wife and my daughter in Houston, Texas? So she says, why not? She, you know, look at life with the glass half full, not mm-hmm. half empty.
Cosmologists say that you create your own reality, and it sounds like you have created your own reality, and you're creating your own world here. This is really fantastic. Sarah Pat is my guest, and Sarah, what is the plot? I don't want you to give too much away, but obviously you want to tease this thing and get me to read it. So what is it about?
Okay, well, it opens up at her father's funeral, and it's a freak accident, but he works at an oil refinery, and then it's sort of unwinding. Was it an accident, or was it planned?
Okay.
So I do leave the readers wanting more at the end. Of course, I can't give it away, Rick. But yes, and okay. So she's 16 also. Naturally, as she's a smart, attractive 16-year-old, and of course, she meets a boy, a little older. He did graduate from Texas A&M, and so it is a love story also.
Well, I'm gonna tell you another little part here. I went to high school in Texas, in Killeen, Texas.
Okay.
And I was hoping to go to Rice at that point, because Rice in those days, if you graduated, you were a Texas resident and graduated from a Texas high school, you go to Rice for free.
Oh, wow.
Didn't happen. A lot of my friends ended up at SMU, the real SMU, Texas A&M, and UT. But this is fascinating. And tell me a little bit about the process of writing, the research, the hours that go into it, how you do it physically.
Okay, great question. My teenage kids were less needy of me, and Olivia would go up to her room and do her homework. The boys also. So I said, you know what, and I don't like watching television that much. There's not really much on television that's worth watching, I think. But anyway, so I said, I'm going to get back to writing, and my goal is to actually finish a book. So I sincerely, I'm not embellishing when I tell you, Rick, that I spend a good 4 to 5 hours every night writing.
Mm-hmm. That's dedication, self-discipline, but it's also having a vision.
Yes, very much so. And my husband, he gets up early in the morning, so he actually goes to bed early, which is also very helpful, because sometimes right now I'm marketing my book, so I'll be at the night while he's maybe watching a Red Sox game, and I'll be like, honey, I'm sorry, I don't mean to ignore you. I'm just marketing my book on Facebook. And he goes, no, not a problem. And then after the game, he goes up, and I get back into writing.
When was this thing published?
This was published last year, July, so it's only been out for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something, Rick, the writing part was easy, believe it or not. It's marketing and promoting it that's very, very difficult.
You are preaching to the choir. What I do is easy, but getting it known is not that easy. It is difficult. But you've gotten great reviews.
Yes, very much so. And I love it when I'm so surprised by the people and find out where they are. Like, there's one, Julia Garcia, and she's also from Texas, and I'm floored when I find Texas people reading it.
Sure.
Because there is actually a bakery in Texas called Savannah Baked Goods that I found, and I emailed, and I said, hey, do you want to sell my book? Because it's a beautiful cupcake on the cover. We can work out a deal. So I'm working on that. Maybe, like, I would give away the cupcake if they buy my book, you know, do something promotion like that. Little bit counts, and why not a bakery? You sit and you read. And
oh my goodness. When we first made contact, you talked about how this might relate in a school setting and education and so on, and you have been invited to speak at one of the area schools?
Yes. Hamilton Wenham Public School, my son's teacher. My kids are great in telling their teachers my mom wrote a book. Benjamin did tell his English teacher last year when he was a junior, and she contacted me. And the funny thing is, Rick, it was supposed to just be his class and one class. And she emailed me the night before, and she goes, I hope you don't mind, but there's 4 other classes that want to join. So, of course, I'm in this huge room, and there are 89 juniors and seniors.
Fantastic. It is amazing, because I think everybody, I don't know, almost every teacher I know, including myself, has always wanted to be published. I mean, it's just something you want to do. You want to have an idea that gets published. But the time, the creativity, all of that, there's always something missing. So it takes great dedication. But I go back to that germ of an idea. And in describing, and I haven't read the book, but I will read it, I promise you that. In describing scenes like in Texas, how do you do that?
Okay, well, thanks to Google, the internet. I actually did a tour of Rice University, a virtual tour. I get a lot of Houston tourism magazines now sent to me. It's actually sort of airy that you research something online and, you know, it's like Big Brother's watching you. I sincerely got a lot of things in the mail, including a map.
Well, see, and back when I was doing it, you'd have to go to the stacks in the library, climb up to the 33rd floor, dig out a magazine article, and write it by hand, and then hope you could translate it into something.
Yeah.
So it is much better now. What about some of the other things that you you might be doing with respect to the book? I mean, let's talk about where it's available and so on. I assume it's the usual places, but let me know.
Okay, so Manchester by the Book in Manchester by the Sea on Union Street just bought 5 copies, and I went in to sign them. So he has 5 signed copies. The bookshop in Beverly Farms had 3. I believe 2 of them sold. I think there's 1 left. I will pay her a visit. Of course, it's available on Amazon. Barnes & Nobles will get it for you. You just have to pay in advance, but they will get it. Mm-hmm. I know somebody in Florida that actually went to Barnes & Nobles, and she just called me and says, I bought your book at Barnes & Nobles. So any mom and pop, any bookshop, it's a courtesy that if they don't have it in the store, they are supposed to order it for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because we have a bookshop in Gloucester. I'm sure you're aware of that one.
Yes, I am, and I did visit them, and I'm not sure if they bought them, because normally they do call me to say, I did get them, can you come in and sign them? But you know what, Rick, after this interview, I'm going to walk over there and check.
We'll have to do a little arm twisting. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness, and I had one more question with respect to that, but it does escape me, and I think the marketing aspect, I know what it was. It had to do with online, the e-books online and stuff like that. And I'm a fan of print. I'm a fan of having the Boston Globe on my table when I have a cup of coffee. But obviously, I also go to the – so right now, this is in print.
Yes, but also e-book. So, okay. No, it is. Okay, so the paperback is $18.99 and the e-book is $3.99. I did not set the prices. Archway set the prices.
Right.
But it's great. It's e-book, it's electronic book, so Kindle, Nook, your tablet, laptop.
Well, you can't sign the e-book, though.
Correct. I know, exactly. But I, you know what, honestly, Rick, I appreciate readers just reading my book. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's not about the money right now. I want to get my name out there. This is, like I said, this is the first in my trilogy. My ultimate goal is to have this made into a miniseries.
I can't wait. Now, the second, well, you got to get the first one sold, I suppose, first.
Correct.
But the second and third will be, there's a timetable for that?
Okay, well, that's interesting that you say that, because I have other famous authors that I've been I've been asking for help. And let me tell you something, the literary world, they are so generous with help. They're not envious, like, oh, no, I can't tell you valuable information. It's not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. So, he said, this one particular author said, you know, why don't you self-publish the first book, which Archway is self-publishing, part of Simon & Schuster, and hopefully an agent will pick you up. Once you get the second book out, which if it's done, you really should get it out published, because people will go back and buy the first one.
Exactly.
So that is in the making. I sincerely am looking for a publisher for the second one. I'm not sure if I want to go to the Archway route again.
Finally, people who helped you through this process, I know that when you write, it's personal, but then it becomes universal once it's printed. So I'm sure there are people that you have leaned on.
Yes. So many of my friends that read a ton, they have read it and edited it. The librarian at the Landmark Elementary School where I teach, she also read it and edited it. She suggested you really have to get it professionally edited, which I did. And that's an interesting venue right there, because a lot of people don't realize it's 15 cents a word to edit a manuscript. And A and I is considered a word, as you know. They were kind enough, Archway, you deal with them. So I got it for 7 cents a word. But this baby right in front of you, Rick, just to edit it cost me $3,000.
Yikes. And I know that, but editing is so important, because you can have a copy read, but you have to have that proof. And two things. I've read so many books online that because of the editing, they might be really good books, but I can't even read it. It's just so bad grammatically and so on, and it just looks bad. But the other thing is, did you encounter any editing questions where an editor might do something very small, a very tiny whatever it is, but it changes your meaning? Did you run into that?
Okay, yes. So Dakota is a 16-year-old, and she is entering her senior year in high school, and she takes honors English. So I mentioned Lolita. And the editor was like, you know, Sarah, Lolita is more a college book. I know it's honors English. And I said, oh, God, you know what? You're right. I actually read Lolita when I was a freshman at Wheelock. Mm-hmm. So she goes, you can make an inference maybe that she could have read it, but on her own. Don't say that it was part of the curriculum her senior year mm-hmm. at public school in Texas. Hmm. So I, so I changed that. I mentioned a Lolita reference, but not that a teacher assigned it.
That's interesting that they would, he would have that, or she would have that that insight. That's pretty cool.
And it was great because that's exactly I did. I was in college when I read that. Also, there were like, of course, she throws a party, and one paragraph I said, oh, 20 friends came over. And then I guess another paragraph, I said 25.
Right,
and so
right.
She says, oh, which is it? Is it 20 or 25? So little things like that, as you're writing and you're flowing, you don't think of those little practicalities, but they are important.
Okay. Well, this is very, very exciting. I can't wait to read it. And I thank you for my signed copy. And I'm going to hit you up for the next two, obviously. and we'll do this again. But anything else you want to mention about Because of Savannah, your brand new book?
I would love it if everybody took the chance to read the synopsis on my website, www.sarahpatt.com, or go on Amazon and read the reviews. Supposedly my brother's wife told me that it's free on Google, the first 60 pages. I don't know how they got it, but hey, that is okay, because I read it, and where they stopped at page 60 leaves you hanging, leaves you wanting more, and it will leave you to buy my Because of Savannah.
Well, Sarah, congratulations. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
That is Sarah Patt. Because of Savannah is the first of three with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.